This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in this morning. In the studio with me is a contributing editor from Cincinnati Magazine, Julie Irwin Zimmerman, who is well-featured twice in the September issue, the issue with the breakfast cover. Cincinnati Magazine's cover story for September is Breakfast is Served, 58 Tasty Places to Start Your Day. But we'll be talking about a couple of articles that Julie wrote for the September issue. One, a profile of Jane Portman, and the other, talking about Antioch College. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, Antioch College, up in Yellow Springs, Ohio, we all know the story, how it closed down after a long and very lofty history.
Yes.
And now has opened back up, and you went up and looked at this, you know, beautiful college trying to rejuvenate itself. Let's go back to Antioch itself, known mm-hmm. as really a bastion of liberal arts
sure.
education.
Yeah, dating from especially the 60s and 70s, but even before that, they were one of the first colleges to admit women, to have women on faculty, to admit African Americans. And
we're talking in the 19th century, not
yes,
the
20th. Yes, sure. The female faculty, especially. One of their first original 10 faculty members was a woman. And I can't remember when they started admitting African Americans, but it was very early on. They did a lot of work during the civil rights era, sending students down to the South to register voters, and was seen, you know, everybody, I think, in the country sort of knew Antioch was shorthand for a liberal, progressive vision.
And really, it in its approach to education is much the same. It is not what you would typically think is a college schedule or
right.
a college class.
Right. They decided very early on that cooperative education, that having doing real work in the real world was an important part of a person's education. And so they alternated between work and study, and students could go, you know, anywhere in the country or the world to work with migrant farmers or work with inner city school children. And so that was always a big part of their education, which is sort of ironic today because now, you know, people are beginning to view college education more as career training, and you've got to have something practical. And Antioch was doing, you know, real practical hands-on education a long time ago, but they're careful to distinguish that practical education is part of a larger endeavor and not an end unto itself.
So all this good work that was going on, and all of a sudden Antioch up and closes.
What
happened?
They had a bitter strike in 1973 over some issues that turned violent at times, and the enrollment never really recovered after that. It sort of, you know, began to decline fairly rapidly. The country changed, and that brand of liberalism was no longer in fashion. And the big thing is that at one point they established campuses all over the country. At one time they had 30 or more campuses, sort of to take an Antioch education to communities when people couldn't come to Antioch. But as that venture, which came to be known as Antioch University, matured, it became much more career-oriented for older students. And the two visions were incompatible. Antioch University ended up running Antioch College, the board of directors. And a lot of people maintain that they weren't interested in the college. They neglected the physical campus to, you know, an astonishing degree, and eventually decided to close the school in 2008.
So the child of Antioch College,
right,
killed its
turned
parent.
On the parent
and kind of ate it
and
up.
Put it yes.
But of course, with these very activist folks, they weren't going to let that sit. And it wasn't that long before, well, almost immediately, efforts to reopen the college began.
Sure. And even, I believe, before it closed, there were negotiations going on to keep it alive. There were nonstop liberal arts college was set up in Yellow Springs to continue offering classes in the Antioch tradition. And then there were also higher ups, you know, working to donate money to buy the campus and its endowment from Antioch University. Those were eventually successful. And a lot of alumni who had drifted away from the college, you know, this got their
ire up.
Their firebrand. Yeah, they had a cause to rally around, and they really did. They collected millions of dollars. And more importantly, a lot of them came back to the campus and did manual labor just to get the thing up and running again.
And that is still going on. They opened and as looking at interesting approaches to things, when they reopened the college, they reopened it with free tuition.
Yes.
It seems counterproductive.
Well, you know, the President Mark Roosevelt pointed out that there's a lot of discounting going on in American education today anyway. You know, colleges feel like it's impressive to have these rack rates of, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year, and yet very few students actually pay that. And so he said when they were trying to figure out the, you know, the equation for what people should pay, they just thought, why not give four classes, the four founding classes, free tuition for all 4 years? It didn't attract that much attention the first year, but this past year, the offer, you know, went viral, appeared on television programs and things like that, and their website crashed from all the interest. I think they had 15,000 application requests, 3,100 applications completed, and they picked a class of 75 out of that.
Well, it's a bit of a shadow, but your story in the September issue of Cincinnati Magazine really lays out both the history and what might be the future for Antioch. It's very fascinating. And also in the September issue, you have a profile of Jane Portman, who was almost the Veep's wife-to-be, I guess you could say.
And yes.
I know I've worked with Jane on an event a couple of years ago and just found her a down-to-earth, nice person. And that's what you reveal in your profile, too. Tell us about visiting Jane Portman.
Well, you know, before I met her, I've worked with a lot of journalists and, you know, who tend not to fawn over people. But what stuck in my head was four or five people saying unprompted, she is so nice and she is so funny and she's so fun to be with. So, you know, I had that going in and she turned out to be just great. It was like visiting with, you know, with a friend of a friend. We sat in her home for about an hour and she had her photo taken and we just chatted. It was a very natural, easy way to spend an interview.
And it seems very different from what we often see with politicians' wives.
Yes. Yeah. She's very accessible. And, you know, as she pointed out, there's a wide range of how political wives and husbands want to approach their jobs. Some are reluctant and like to stay in the shadow. I didn't get the sense that she's, you know, dying to be in front of the microphone all the time, but she is very comfortable in her role and in her volunteering. And I also thought it was just interesting talking to a person, you know, at a point in her life, her husband travels a lot for work. He, you know, he has this prominent position, but she's also got the issues of, you know, children who are almost grown. And she's done, like a lot of women, she's sort of been in and out of the workplace. And now that an empty nest is at least within sight, I just think it's interesting to hear what people want to do with the next chapter of their lives.
So where was the vice presidential nomination process when you talked to Jane? You know, was that during the time where Rob Portman was still being A-listed for
yes, it
the,
was
for the
before,
possibility?
Before the announcement. And he seemed to be at the top of everyone's list at that point. And we didn't talk about that at all. But, you know, it still seemed like an interesting time to be part of the family.
Well, and she I know she really enjoys the work or started out early in her life being involved in politics.
Yes.
And it seems natural for her, and she, you know, seems to be a natural fit. But I also, I picked up, and I asked you about the vice presidential nomination aspect, not because I thought it needed to be covered, but because I was sort of picking up from your profile of her that she wouldn't have been unhappy not to have to go to Washington.
You mean she'd be content to stay where she is?
Yes, content to stay. You know,
sure.
I think she would go, but, you know, more content to stay.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've, you know, they've got a great life here, it seems like. They've got a beautiful home along the river and friends and family and, you know, their kids have all grown up here. So I definitely sensed that she was perfectly happy with the way things are.
Yes.
But open to other things as well.
Well, fascinating, both your profile of Jane Portman and the great story about Antioch College.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for sharing it both this morning and in the September issue of Cincinnati Magazine.
You're welcome.
Julie Irwin Zimmerman, a contributing editor of Cincinnati Magazine. You can read her articles about Antioch College and Jane Portman in the September issue, available on newsstands now. Just look for the cover that says "Breakfast is Served" at the top. And you can find a link to Cincinnati Magazine's website with a lot more content beyond the magazine at our website, wvxu.org.